Thank you. It's very good to be here. Our next scripture reading is from Romans. Move that up. 8:19 through 23. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the whole creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. I'd like to begin by reading a few words from Martin Luther King, Jr. He said, "We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. There is no time for apathy or complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action." It really is good to be here today at Church of the Open Arms. On this Sunday, following such an historic week of equality in our country, I've been in celebration mode for the last few days. With Confederate flags coming down and the flag of equality being raised, it is a time to celebrate. But it's also a time to recognize the sacrifice of so many to get to a point like this. Why did it have to take the mass murder to bring down a symbol of racism and slavery in our country? And why are so many in our country still looking for ways to discriminate against persons of different races and different sexual orientation, even though so many good things have happened this week? The fight for equality is not over now, nor will it ever be over, but there is still a time to celebrate victories, and today is a time to celebrate a victory for our human community. When I spoke with Kana about giving the sermon here today, we agreed on the topic of the church and climate change, and I'll have to admit I wavered a bit about whether to stay with that topic given the events of the past week, although there has been some climate change, a kind that I approve of, over the past week. But I have decided that in truth, the topics are not unrelated, but actually intimately connected with each other. Recognizing that all of us are persons of sacred worth with equal rights is, in my opinion, key to being able to address all the problems and challenges that we face in our world today. If we cannot even recognize the dignity and rights of each person in the human community, how can we begin to recognize and advocate for the dignity and worth of all members of the ecological community of which we are all a part? As we bring about more equality, it helps to bring healing within the human community, and that might allow us to become more responsible members of our ecological community. And the ecological community, the very good creation, is in great need of healing. If we do not care for creation, all of the advances we have experienced in relation to justice and equality are also in grave danger. Scientists are telling us that we as a human community have begun the sixth great extinction on our planet. The sixth great extinction on our planet. And it is the only one that is caused by one species. Because of human activity, species are going extinct 100 to 1,000 times faster than they normally would. At this pace, we may have 50% fewer species at the end of this century than we did at the beginning of it. The whole creation is groaning under the travail of what we as a human community are doing to it. We are experiencing the fierce urgency of now to do something about it. Pope Francis, in his recent encyclical, calls us to embrace this fierce urgency and work together to change our lives and the systems of society, to care for what he calls our common home. And Pope Francis recognizes that unless we address climate change, we will not be able to save our common home together. Recently, one of my heroes, who also happens to be a United Methodist — I'm United Methodist, pray for the United Methodist Church, please, we need it — Bill McKibben. You may not know Bill McKibben is a United Methodist. He actually taught Sunday school for many, many years at his church in Vermont. He's a lover of wisdom and one of the most effective and committed climate change activists in the world. He's the founder of 350.org, the organization that realizes unless we bring our carbon dioxide level back to 350 parts per million, that the planet is in grave danger. Bill McKibben pointed out that when it comes to addressing climate change, it is like we are in the last half of the fourth quarter of an American football game, and we are down by 2 or 3 touchdowns, he says. He said that we are at a point in the game when we can no longer afford to rely on solid ground gains through the line. What is needed, McKibben rightly claims, is for us to make some surprising passes, or it will soon be game over in relation to doing anything to mitigate the most extreme consequences of climate change. McKibben's football analogy is a clear way of highlighting the great urgency of now when it comes to the needed action to reduce dramatically the emission of greenhouse gases. Taking his analogy further, not only do we need some surprising passes to win in this most important challenge of our time, we need the passes to be the best possibly thrown passes that we can throw. The passing routes need to be run to precision, and the plays that are called must be the most effective and strategic plays that we can possibly call. Our team must work together as well as ever to make the great climate responsibility comeback that is needed. We cannot simply throw the ball up for grabs. That may be needed in the last seconds of the game. Hopefully, we're not there yet. Sadly, we may be. Unfortunately, long passes to the end zone with seconds left are rarely effective. We need a sense of urgency combined with strategy to complete the surprising passes that we need. We need strategic urgency. We also need all of the players to give their all to their particular roles and positions in the game. We are not all quarterbacks, receivers, or coaches, but we all have extremely important roles to play. It is time, past time, to be all in. We may not be able to make the systemic changes needed to address climate change. The situation is both dire and extremely complex, with powerful forces attempting to make our passes incomplete. But we will certainly not prevail if we do not give it our all. In the end, if we can come together to complete the passes needed, all persons and all life will be the winners, even the opposing team. Now, with all analogies, this football analogy has its limitations. Football is primarily a sport for men, and the work of addressing climate change is clearly the work of all persons. Also, football is one of the most violent games of our time, and the work of addressing climate change should be nonviolent, creative, and appeal to the very best, the most loving, and the most just aspects of our humanity. We should not lose our humanity in the effort to save humanity and all of life. That being said, we need to be all in. We need to be all in. And we need an intense sense of strategic urgency. If we do not do all that we can to address climate change, there will be less peace on Earth. There will be less social justice. There will be more animal suffering. There will be more threats to human rights, more poverty, less racial equality, lower quality health care. There will be more hunger. There will be more homelessness. There will be greater suffering for our children, less flourishing for all persons, fewer opportunities for women, less biodiversity, and greater suffering for future generations of all life if we are not all in on climate change. If we do not work for social justice, peace, the well-being of all life, the rights of all persons, racial equality, the eradicating of poverty, quality health care for all, ending hunger, ending homelessness, work for the well-being of our children, equal rights for women, equal rights for persons who are LGBTQ, preserving biodiversity, and the flourishing of the future generations of all life. If we are not working for all those things, then the planet we save by addressing climate change will be so diminished in value that it will not be the flourishing home it can be for all life and for all ages to come. Climate change and justice are related. They're intimately connected. Climate change and flourishing of human life are related. They're intimately connected. We have just experienced in 2014 the warmest year for combined land and ocean temperatures since record keeping began in 1880. And this happened in a year without El Nino, without the surface water, especially in the Pacific, being warm. This year we have an El Nino event. This year is very likely to surpass last year as the warmest year on record. February 1985. Do you remember? Anybody remember February 1985? I remember February 1985. That was the last month in which we experienced a colder than average month globally. February 1985. The greenhouse gases of carbon dioxide and methane that contribute most to this warming continue to be on the rise, with methane showing a pronounced spike since 2007. I have some ideas of why we have that pronounced spike in methane since 2007. Currently, 258 billion of tons of land ice are lost annually. And every major climate indicator points to continued warming unless there is a significant shift in how human beings produce and use our energy. The consensus among climate scientists across the globe is that climate change is real, it is now, and if we do not act with great urgency and effectiveness, climate change will bring catastrophic consequences for human civilization and all life on Earth. Now, with evidence like this, one would think that we would be experiencing a sense of unmatched urgency to stabilize the climate through the most massive shift in energy use and energy production seen in the history of humankind for the sake of all generations of humans and all life to come. One would think. Instead, we have witnessed a systematic and well-funded digging in of the heels of those who still have trillions of dollars to make on the exploitation of fossil fuels at the expense of future generations. Here in the United States, we continue to further the goals of the fossil fuel industry while minimizing the reality of climate change. And some of the greatest denial, Some of the greatest denial of climate change comes from the leadership and the people of our own state of Oklahoma. The United States and Canada both, right now, collectively have our heads in the sand, or should I say our heads in the oil sands, while the planet is facing its greatest threat since the beginning of human existence. We have moved beyond the point of climate change denial to a climate of betrayal. A climate of betrayal of future generations for the sake of current comfort and greed. With the evidence for climate change so overwhelming and the urgency for action so obvious, we must begin to ask ourselves if our generation is growing ever more guilty of one of the worst crimes against humanity in the history of humankind. Such a claim will surely be ridiculed by the fossil fuel industry in the name of energy independence and economic development, but the climate science and the facts of climate change and its consequences will judge us otherwise. Make no mistake, no matter how slowly or quickly the consequences unfold, we are committing an act of great collective violence with our inaction in the face of climate change. Much like the human actions of the past that have led to the destruction of so many human lives, we cannot use the excuse that we did not know. We know. We know. And we have chosen a climate of betrayal for our future. We are the very last generation with the opportunity to make a significant impact on climate change. We are the last generation with the opportunity to make a significant impact on climate change. Up until now, we have exhibited a massive collective moral failure, characterized by a glaring lack of empathy for each other and for generations to come. One has to wonder what it will take. What will it take for us to care enough about each other and for the rest of life to change the way that we live our lives? Our generation is pulling the trigger on the climate change gun while billions of persons of current and future generations have their hands up, pleading for us not to shoot. Let us repent of our sins. Let us repent of our sins against each other and the planet, and as followers of Jesus, let us follow his way of peace, justice, and caring for all of creation. For the sake of all present and future life, and for the transformation of the whole world. We know that when we work together, that great things can happen. We know that when we work together, that great things can happen. We have seen the fruit of that labor together in the historic week of greater equality. We must now all come together to care for our common home with the fierce urgency of now. Amen.